excellence.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Wow,
third time was the charm.
I'm telling you, technical difficulties. Wouldn't it be a regular show without some type of flub? I'm telling you. I apologize. How are you, my friend?
It's not your fault, man. I'm doing really good, man. Doing really good. Just sitting out here enjoying the evening sky and just, looking forward to the fall.
Sit outside and enjoy the evening sky. I'm in the middle of a city right now, so I don't get much of a good view of the midnight sky, of the nighttime sky.
It's overrated. I'm stuck in the middle. I'm stuck in Medford. So yeah, I'm not seeing a whole lot else. But it's
Medford.
But at least
it's
a small neighborhood.
Well, there you go. So I apologize again for the technical difficulties or whatever. But I wanted to bring you on here. I thought it would be fun since I know you did the Scares the Care show. And I went to the Monster Mania show, and neither one of us got to go to the same show. I thought maybe we would give our reports and tell each other about the show live on the air about each other's shows. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea.
Well, since your show came up first, how about you tell us about yours first?
Okay. Well, to kind of give you some backstory on Scares.
Send our best to Tommy and Kim, by the way.
Oh yeah, they're in bed sleeping, man. They're early nighters.
I gotcha. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem. A little bit of background. Scares the Cares. Scares the Cares is a charity. They pick three families a year. They pick a woman who's suffering from fighting breast cancer. You've got a kid who's also fighting cancer. And then you have someone who is fighting a really horrible, a terrible burn, some kind of really like massive burn to the body. The last one was chosen by one of the founders of the I don't know if he's one of the founders, but he was like the first horror celebrity to endorse and embrace Scares, and that was Kane Hodder. And everybody who knows anything about Kane Hodder remember the horrible burning accident he had back all those years ago. So that was an important thing for him. So basically what they do is they always succeed. They raise $30,000 a year, and they give each family $10,000 to pay for their incidentals. The convention has kind of become one of the primary sources of their them raising their money for the income. They do it by people who go to the show and donate. They buy the merchandise there, and of course they're buying the tickets to go to the show. Everything that goes past the running of the show goes immediately to the three families. They presented the check to the breast cancer survivor, the woman fighting breast cancer. They presented her with her $10,000 check at the show because they were able to raise that money with fundraisers prior to the actual convention. The other two will probably get their checks sometime in the fall because I don't know, like I said, post-COVID, we're still in the era of COVID, but, the first kind of COVID shows are not big, weren't huge crowds. So I don't know how Monster Mania was. I don't know how crazy Monster Mania was. But I know that the first thing is that, of course, I've been to both shows. Monster Mania is a much larger, it's a much more in-depth and bigger show. And I know we've talked about this before. Monster Mania has outgrown where it's held. If he had moved that to someplace else, he'd be able to get bigger crowds because people would still go. Scares is still coming. Right. This is only, I think this was the, I've been to three of their shows now. So I think that was their fifth or sixth show. So I've been to, about half of them. Scares is a little bit different than monstomania because it focuses most on, because one of, I don't know if you know how much you're into horror, reading horror novels and such, but one of the principal guys who's a part of their board is horror author Brian Keene. And Ooh. He started bringing all of his friends, these other various Ooh. Horror authors, to the show. And that made a big difference because suddenly the show had 20, you know, authors selling, you know, their books and stuff, which for me was awesome because I'm a bookaholic. So
sure.
I buy more books at that time than I buy anything else.
Sure.
I bought over
20
at the show.
20.
Oh, yeah, that's the best part. You buy them, like, you buy, like, a package of them. They give you a great kind of, like, discounted deals and stuff on that. And it's a lot of stuff you're just not going to find because there are a lot of the stuff is, like, because, like, this, in horror, the horror written, the horror literary world, one of the biggest problems with it was that they lost their big time publisher, which was a place called Leisure Publications, and it was a part of, I think, Diamond, which does like a lot of the which is the company that provides stuff to the comic book stores and stuff like that. But when Leisure went under, they had to kind of go to these underground publishers to get their stuff published, because if your name's not Stephen King, you're not going to get that kind of, you know, it's not that people aren't good, you know, publishers aren't lining up to put your stuff out. So this is a great opportunity for a lot of these underground authors to get their stuff. So, but they also get a nice celebrity out. They had like a classic. They had like 20 plus celebrities. I would say probably their headliner, even though he wasn't the headliner for me. I was going for somebody. I went because I want to support the charity, but also and I love going to Virginia. But I think the headliner was Billy Zane. From Demon Knight and of course Titanic and countless other films. Super cool guy. I got a chance to say hi to him. I didn't get his autograph or anything, but I got a chance to say hi to him. He's super nice, super cool. The guy I went to see was Michael Paré, who was of course from Eddie and the Cruisers, Streets of Fire, Children of the Damned, the remake with Christopher Reeve in it, you know. Great actor. I love him, you know, got to see him and a couple of other guys here too. But it's a fun show. It's for us East Coasters. It's kind of a hard show to get to because it is in Virginia and that's like almost an 11-hour drive if you do the crazy thing I do, which is leave at 3 a.m. It'll take you about 10 to 11 hours to get there. It's a hard drive to get to, buddy. I left at 3 a.m. I was there a little bit before 1, and it was nice that they could see what kind of shape I was in when I got there. So they were like, "Oh yeah, we have a room ready." I was like, "Oh, praise God for that! Thank you."
Right, right.
Because I'm thinking, if I had to go sit down in my car or something, I think I'd have to kill myself.
After being in your car for 10 hours.
It's a fun show. It's like any show. It's got its cliques. It's also got growing issues and stuff like that. You know, it's not a perfect show, but they do the best they can. You know, it's like Monstermania. They're not in your face about everything. You don't have to have somebody sitting there barking at you and saying things at you. So that's always a nice thing about it. They're very hands off unless you're doing something stupid kind of a thing. In the hotel, this is the DoubleTree Inn in Williamsburg, Virginia, is absolutely gorgeous. Okay. The area is gorgeous. If you like to go and do like historical stuff, there's Revolutionary War stuff there. There's Civil War stuff there. They have the first English colony. Jamestown is there. So there's plenty of like great things to do when you come down. That's not even related to the show. You know, and the crowds are good, but they're not Monstermania crowds. You know, where Saturday you kind of like you're afraid to step outside the hotel because you may not get back in again. You know, kind of a situation. They're not there. They're not anywhere near that. And you know, I hope they can someday. I really do.
Right. You contribute that to the fact that not a lot of people know about them yet, correct?
That's correct. I mean, I think a lot of people know in the horror community know about the charity itself, but I think they're still learning about the actual the convention. The convention, like I said, it's only been around for about 5 years. You know,
sure, it'll get
and
there.
I would say 6 years. They lost the year. Everybody lost.
Yeah.
We have the lost year with the 2020. Nobody did
right.
shows
Everybody
in 2020.
The bullet, yeah.
Yeah. So
wow.
that was
now.
You know, that was, you know, and I think that's also kind of hurt them a little bit this year. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the numbers at Monster Mania, but I could definitely tell from when I was there in 2019 that the crowds were a little bit smaller. They, you know, not significantly so, but you could kind of tell, particularly on Friday night, it was just like, wow, it's not as packed as you would think it would be. And that's, like I said, I summed that up to COVID. People were scared to go, you know, because
sure.
the COVID
cases
are just starting. We were a masked event because of the surge that was the new surge that was coming up. So, which was not a problem. Nobody minded it.
Right.
People who did mind it didn't go. So,
right.
so be
well,
it. Myself,
right.
I was like, I was fine with them. You know, if I got to wear
right.
a mask, I wear a mask. I'm fine with that.
Exactly. You get to still have fun in the same time.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I mean, they just introduced Q&As to their show this year, which I was really happy to see that he did. It's something,
well,
you know,
cool.
the founder, Joe Ripple, I was like, I'm glad to see him adding more things for people to do. Because like I said, it's like,
yeah.
you know, one of the things, my biggest knock on Chiller Theater's show was that, if you're not buying stuff or getting autographs, there's nothing else to do there. You know?
Yeah,
they have
not
a Saturday
there
night
yet.
Concert, and that's it. Yeah.
It's been
like
a little
I said,
bit it's, years.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I always say about Chiller is, like, I would go, I would, it's, if you really see somebody or you see a group of people, they get some really kind of, like, out there guests that you don't normally see. Like I said, he got the Willy. They had. I still remember the year they got the Willy Wonka kids. So I mean, they're the only show
yeah.
that does that. You know,
right,
they were the first
right.
show to
no,
get
I
records. That's why kind of like they're the granddaddy. I always call Chiller the granddaddy
yeah.
of the conventions. You know, for the
Absolutely.
East Coast, they're the biggest one still, I think. And they, like I said, they're the ones who always push the. They're pushing the envelope out farther, which is great because if it doesn't work. You know, guys like Dave Hagen and Monster Mania and Joe Ripple and Scares the Care don't have to take that risk. They
right.
say, oh, yeah, they tried that. That didn't work at all. Let's not go
right.
there, you know. But bringing, like, wrestlers, like, it's like bring. I remember the year that Monster Mania brought Shawn Michaels in. That was something that
right.
Chiller Theater did first. They started bringing wrestlers. And
right.
they got a good reaction
Smart.
From them. So Dave's like, hey. People want to see wrestlers. Let's go get some wrestlers. We'll go get Kane. We'll go get Shawn Michaels. We'll go get,
right.
you know, we'll go get Kevin Hogan. We'll get Kevin Nash, you know?
Right.
So,
right up the
you know, it's a fun show. It's just like I said, that's the only thing like I want. And also, Virginia is ridiculously hot in August. I swear, I wish they would move that show to the spring or the fall, or heck, even the winter wouldn't be bad because the winters in Virginia are like our fall and springs up here. You know, it's like 50 degrees and stuff. Is that the cold day? You know, I was stationed in Maryland for 4 years. So.
Oh wow! Now is that the
yeah?
Only show
so I was doing
that
from the
Air Force. Or do they split it out?
No, they just do one show. They just right now they're doing. They were going to do a show in Wisconsin, and I don't know what is becoming of that. They were branching out to Wisconsin because I guess they were looking at like expanding the show and going different places with it. And
yeah.
I guess Wisconsin put a feeler out and gave him a really positive response. So he was thinking about putting the show, but now, but again, that was pre-COVID. So I have
right,
no
right.
idea if that's that. I don't know how far back down on the how far if that's even on a blackboard anymore, as you know, as they say. It might even not
right,
just
right.
be gone back to the blackboard. It might not even be on there anymore. I honestly don't know.
Right.
I mean, I've known Joan Ripple for almost as long as I've known Dave Hagen. So
right.
It's kind of like those are my two shows, you know, because I'm like, I know the guys who run them and I like the guys that run them.
And it makes it easier when you have that, too. Like, I have a buddy of mine that runs a wrestling convention I was telling you about. I'm pretty loyal to him when it comes to wrestling goes. But Dave Hagen knows his monster stuff and his horror stuff. And in all honesty, the randomness sometimes you get, too. But I'm always, you know, I always look online. I find myself looking across, you know, the regions to see what else is out there. And sadly, you know, I haven't been to too many, but I've been to the certain ones. Of course, yeah, I've been to a lot of the ones locally. I've been to the Rock and Shock when it was around and things of that nature. It's actually brought a friend of mine this time to his first convention ever this past month, the Mania.
Oh, cool.
That's always interesting to introduce people.
Hopefully he shell-shocked.
Well, you know, I think he fit right in, actually.
I know sometimes. I know sometimes the crowds can be at Monster Mania. Like I said, the crowds can be more than a little intimidating. I've had a couple of friends brought into Monster Mania that are just like, are they always like this? I'm like, yeah, kind of. Like it's I'm like, it's a popular show, and the thing is that he like I said, he's. Dave is at that point right now where he can bring in just about anybody. I wouldn't be surprised someday if we see someone like Kurt Russell or Christopher Pratt or somebody like, you know, some big A-list actors and stuff like that, and he convinces them to come to Monster Mania on the East Coast. You know, it really helps.
You, they get
you know,
bigger,
it helps that he's got great relationships with the He's got great relationship with the agents. I think that was the smartest thing Dave ever did. Like guys like Sean Clark, who represent like half the horror community on the West Coast.
Right.
I always said like that was probably one of the smartest things he did was get tight with the agents, because as they increase the amount of people, you can get those people to your show. That's how we got Stranger Things kids. It's how he gets us. That's how he gets these, you know, amazing guests.
Right.
He got Sean Astin for crying out loud. It's like, you know, Sean Astin is even known for horror, and he got him.
And several other people. How about Richard Dreyfuss? Well, Richard Dreyfuss is a few horror, I guess.
Yeah.
But he's done some.
The closest thing you're going to get from Dreyfuss was what, Dodge?
Yeah.
That was what?
Really?
That was 40-plus years ago he did that movie? Back in 78, I think?
I
tip my hat to him. Yeah, he got Ally Sheedy. She's not known for horror. Has she ever been in a horror movie? I don't know. But it's amazing that he can get those great celebrities. I was still blown away the year he got John Carpenter, and then the next year he got Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, how about that?
I was like, man. Yeah, I was like, dang.
How about the time he had
Tim
Curry and Paul Rubens and Elvira on one show?
Yeah.
By the way, on that same show, he had Sean Astin and Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
And John Carpenter.
He had five. I remember that was the famous headliner show. It's like, is there anybody in that mix that's not a headliner?
Right.
Anyone else's show, just one of those guys one of those folks would have been a headliner. He had like five.
Right.
Didn't he have Alice Cooper there too or something?
He had Alice Cooper, one dead Meatloaf. He had Christina Ricci. He had the girls from the Craft. I mean, he's not afraid of backing down. He gets some people. Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I know. He's
the
first one he did a Craft reunion.
I'll tell you.
I remember I was at that
show.
I think it was the last Monster Mania went to was the Craft reunion show. He had all three girls from the Craft. I'm like, and particularly getting the not Neve Campbell, the first of all, but the third girl, she didn't really think much of the fans until she came to Monster Mania and realized how much the fans loved her. And she's like, I love these things now. And now she does conventions all the time.
Right. Dave's good for bringing people to their first conventions ever.
I used to remember I love those.
The debuts, right? Those are huge.
Yeah, I love to see those. First East Coast show ever. I was like, man.
Yeah.
That's like, he got that sewed up, man.
Well,
there's something about Monster Mania that makes people feel safe about going to. It's, you know, because, like, you know, there are people. He got Danielle Harris to go. I remember my first Monster Mania was Monster Mania 2. And I remember he brought Danielle Harris to that show. And
right.
The thing that always stuck out with me was she was right in the middle of, she had that, remember, we've all heard about that stalker thing. The guy wanted to kill her and do all sorts of nasty things to her corpse.
All that crazy stuff, right?
She was neck deep in that. She didn't even know who the guy was. She had no idea where he was. But that guy was out there, and she still felt safe enough to go to Dave's show in New Jersey, where apparently she said the guy was an East Coast guy.
Oh, wow.
Huh?
That doesn't make me feel too good.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is that it really amazed me that he's able to do stuff like that. That's just, like I said, it blew me away.
Exactly. So Monster Mania was a little different, kind of like yours a little bit, and it was a little bit more quiet, but there was still somewhat of a crowd. It still has that, you know, like you said, that kind of crowd, I guess. But it was less. And honestly, it was very, what was for real for me was, I think it was Saturday night or Friday night, I walked through the lobby, and it was still... You know how it is on a Monster Mania Friday or Saturday night in that lobby of that hotel.
Yeah.
Normally. You have to step over people, usually. Well, I'll tell you, you know, I got to say, as I was walking through there, I said, you know what? This is the show. If you were just trying to break your teeth into a show, this is the one to come to. Because it was less of that. There was still people out there, don't get me wrong. There was still people out there partying and smoking cigarettes and stuff, but... There was less of that and the less humanity in the lobby. And it wasn't that the hotel people were kicking people out. It was also a masked event. Some people didn't. Some people bitched. Some people complained. Dave had an issue where someone yelled at him for eating a hot dog and having a beer for sitting down. He's at the VIP party. Someone was in the party and decided to yell at people because some people were eating ice cream and cake, and Dave, for example, who was having a hot dog and a piece of beer, the person yelled at him and saying, how dare him promote such a thing, and how dare him eat this, you know, to do this stuff without no mask on his face. Basically, the guy caused such an uproar that just kicked him out altogether. He was just one of those lunatics that every show gets. But,
you
know, the ongoing joke. And see, I went to the VIP party, and apparently I missed that part of it. But I don't pay attention to stuff like that normally anyway. I just like, that's just like everyday lifetime to me. But I'm sure that's also stuff that Dave's used to, too. Lunatics coming up and complaining about who knows what. But next day when I heard the story, I definitely had to go downstairs and say, hey, Dave, what are you thinking? Running this convention, bringing all these people here together. How dare you have a hot dog and have a beer? Who do you think you are? You know, because Dave gets the ribbing. You know what I mean? Dave gets the busting. He gets the joke. But it's unfortunate that people, you know, treat it like that because it wasn't like that at all.
No.
People wore masks online, and people were concerned about pictures with the people. And for the most part, I got to tell you, the people took pictures without the masks on, a lot of the guys who have been there since forever. And the other good thing about this show for Monster Mania and where I was introducing this person into conventions are a lot of these people are people who I know and I feel confident about introducing my friends to, that I know that these are good guests for someone's first show, like Bill Moseley, Kane Hodder, Danielle Harris. You know, guys who've been around the block who know how these shows work. You know, the biggest surprise about it was Matthew Lillard. Remember the last time we had talked, you had said that Matthew Lillard.
I met him at an earlier Monster Mania. Super nice guy. He actually, my son Tommy was, I think, 1.5 at the time when we went to that show. He was about, he wasn't quite 2. And Matthew kind of walked up the line because my wife really wanted him because she's a big Scream fan. And I loved him as Shaggy and Scooby-Doo. And but he walked up the line and he pointed to everybody that had a kid and said, I want those people moved to the front of the line. They got children. You know, it's like, you know, those kids, you know, they're not going to wait around. It's like, and he explains to the line why he's doing it. He's like, the kids aren't going to let these people, and I want to meet every, I want to meet all of you. And he's like, I promise you, I'm not going to let them cut the line. But that was, I thought that was amazing of him. He let us, he let us cut the line, and suddenly we're in the front of the line. I was like, dang.
He's a very family-oriented individual, Matthew Lillard. And, you know, I went to the Q&A on Saturday night, and him and, what's his name, Skeet Ulrich, you know, you have a certain expectation of people when you before you see them. And I think we spoke before where I said, I haven't been overly blown away by a lot of the things that Matthew Lillard's acted in. I think he's had some movies that I'm like, ugh, I don't know about that one. But, you know, when it comes to, like, Shaggy or, you know, like, you know, Scream or say, I actually didn't mind Hackers, but, you know, there's a couple other movies that he did that I'm like, I could have skipped over that. He worked on a movie with my friend Seth Green called Without a Paddle, but, you know, I could actually tolerate him more than the other guy who was in that movie with him. I don't remember his name, though, but him I can't see.
Yeah.
The other guy I really won't. You know, Dax Shepard, I think it was. But, you know, Lillard and Ulrich did the Q&A, and for the first time I've ever seen, Dave Hagen just sat on the sideline and just let, you know, Matthew Lillard and Skeet Ulrich run the show. They walked around and with this, like, their game show hosts in this Q&A answering questions.
Oh, really?
And of course, my wife got the first question off, so she thought that was all. You know, that was, she was all excited about that, having the first question answered. But that was kind of cool. But you know, one of the things that was really nice to hear, or actually kind of, not only was it nice, it was also very eye-opening to people, because I don't think people realize how hard the movie business is. Because Matthew Lillard talked about how hard it is to be an actor, and how hard it is in between the roles, and how you can make, you know, a good role here and the other one not so much, and how long you go in between. And what he said was, you know, he always felt bad about taking money from autographs from these places like this, right? He also said that, you know, he thanked the fans because it puts food on his kids' table. What an enduring thing to say, and that really is kind of what it is for a lot of these guys who – you know, who their careers might be kind of not, you know, headlining anymore. But for the most part, there's that. And this also gives them a time to talk to their fans. And he's always, he said how he really enjoys the fact that he can inspire other people to do whatever it is that they do, because a lot of people didn't give him those chances either, but he did it anyway.
Yeah.
So I was a little surprised by his maturity factor, even though I still think he has ADD. Because he could not sit still the entire weekend. He had the longest line out of anyone the entire weekend. I was a little surprised by that, I guess. I would have expected some of the other people to maybe have a longer one. But, you know, the staff did a pretty good job keeping everyone in track. It was actually kind of amusing. They had some new staff, new security. I'm doing parentheses. You can't see it. I put it in parentheses, new security. But it looks like, you know, they're making a generational thing. I think they had a kid that was like 13 years old doing security in the Matthew Lillard's room. He had the staff shirt and everything else. I thought that was amusing. I said, look, I pointed to my son. I said, look, you're bigger than that kid. You could definitely do security.
Yeah.
You know, just
I, that might, that might have
like
been
that.
Doug Hagen's kids.
You know, Doug's kids are getting big too. But, you know, it's funny.
Yeah.
And I pointed out to Doug. I said, you know, Doug, you know, my son's got your kid by a couple inches. But that's okay. I said to him because he's got me by an inch and a half. So I don't –
yeah,
understand.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I know. My son's going to tower over me by the time by the time he gets old enough, when he's in his teen years, I know I'm going to be looking up at my kid.
Yeah, well, I know. They never listen. I told my kids they're not allowed to get tall to me. They didn't listen. What else is
there?
Oh,
no,
my daughter
did.
My son, not so much. But I got, you know, what's funny is Martin Cove was there, along with his son, Jesse Cove, from Cobra Kai.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
And they had them next to each other. Because I'm me, I said to Martin, I said, so let me ask you, you like me, and you told your son he wasn't allowed to get taller than you too, but he didn't listen either. His son is pretty big, I'm not going to lie to you. He is significantly taller than Martin Cove. Who, by the way, is in phenomenal shape for a guy, however old he is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've met Martin. He's an amazing guy. Amazing guy. I remember meeting him at back when Before Scares the Kids, its predecessor was a show called Horrifying. And I met Martin at that because he was promoting he was with a crew of people promoting an independent movie he had been involved in, which was like about a killer Sasquatch. And it was a fun show, and we got to see they premiered the movie at the show at the convention.
Oh, wow.
So we got to see there and watch him, you know, and it's like he's just a really humble guy, and you can see he's one of those guys where it's like it doesn't matter what he's doing, if he's doing something big like Cobra Kai for Netflix, or if he's just doing a, you know, a micro budget film for a bunch of college students, he is still going to give you the same exact, you know, drive, intensity, and everything you would hope for from somebody like him.
Right, and that's something that's good to see. And his son is gigantuan, and even nicer than his dad, which is oddly enough how it is. You know, it's funny, I find, like, in wrestling, the same thing. Like, the meanest bad guys are usually the nicest good guys in real life.
Well,
and
And
where the best good guys on TV are usually the biggest jerks outside the ring. But anyway, that's usually how it works. But it's funny how the comparison is there. But it was a good time. But, you know, I got to say, I don't know if it was for the fact of the numbers of people afraid and people not happy about the mask wearing, whatever, because it was significantly a lot of people not there, and a lot of people canceled their rooms. And the way I look at it is one less person in line.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame, but at the same time, it's not Dave's fault. I'd like, you know, because New Jersey told him like a week before the show he had the mask up or they weren't going to let him have a show. So that was beyond his thing. There was nothing he could do about that. It was the same thing. It wasn't like with Scares. It was like Virginia recommended it, but they hadn't said, you know, you should wear a mask. You have to wear a mask. They made the decision to make it a mass event because of what the CDC said and the federal government was saying, you know, you know, if you're going to be in an indoor event, you should wear a mask. But Virginia hadn't said that. But I do not blame Dave for something like that, because, like I said, I remember when he announced it, and I remember reading the announcement on on social media when they said they told him mask up or no event. That's what New Jersey said. So I always said, you know, it's like that's not Dave's fault. You know, if you guys want to go and you want to go to the convention, you want to meet guys like Richard Brake and meet guys like Skeet Ulrich and Matthew Lillard, you want to go and meet these folks and just have a good time and buy a whole bunch of cool stuff, you have to wear a mask. That's what the state is telling you.
Right.
You know, he can't pick up and suddenly move the show a week before it's going to happen and drop it in Pennsylvania in the hopes that Pennsylvania is going to allow him to, so he doesn't have to deal with that. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that.
No, right, exactly. Now, you heard about the show they're doing in October. It's also in Philadelphia, I believe. Is it in Philadelphia, the new one? They're doing a show in October, and I guess, you know, how you were saying about you wanted a bigger venue, they're actually getting a convention all this time.
Huh.
It'll be the biggest convention for them.
His October show is usually in Hunt Valley, Maryland.
He's got, well, that's going so on too. That's going to be in September, I guess. But there's a
Okay, so he's doing another show. Well, okay.
Yep, in September.
Well, I know there's a March show that he did that was an outdoor. He did that outdoor show in March, was a huge success. So
sure.
I'm not surprised he's going to go back and why not? You know?
Yeah, I would.
Why not?
Yeah.
It'd probably be more of a success than when the weather's nicer and people aren't dying from heat stroke when they're, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, but
I knew friends that went to that March show.
Yeah, they liked it?
They liked it a lot, but they sat there and said it was too hot. That was the one thing. It was just too damn hot out. It was just like, it was like the sun was blazing on them, and it was just too hot. It was just too hot outside. So it was just unfortunately, that's the trouble, you know, you run into with some of these shows is that, you know, when you're doing outdoor events, you're at the mercy of what Mother Nature does. That's
right.
Why they're not usually the That's usually like, you know, usually it's, that's why so many, that's why most conventions are always in hotels and they're at convention centers and stuff because they can control, they can control the conditions inside much better than they could if they were having it at this, like this big open field or this, you know, big, you know, fairground or something. It's like, I think he was that,
exactly.
I think it was like a fairground or something he had it in. But like I said,
from what I understand,
he
was
couldn't do
outside
it
outside the convention hall in the parking lot or something. But yeah.
You know, it's one of the things
good.
I tell people. It's just like, you know, it's this. That's just the way it is now. Until COVID is under control, just be grateful that there's something going on. You know, 2020 is going to. A lot of people are never going to forget that.
Right, and I tell people all that, and I actually took upon myself to thank everyone who came. Even if I didn't want getting anything from them, I thank them for coming and being part of it, you know, because I think that's important. And I think it's important to, you know, celebrate the people who are coming to make this thing happen, you know. And so it was a very, very interesting show, I got to say. It was, all in all, it was a time, to say the least. It was less people, I got to say, it was kind of nice walking through the lobby and not having to step over people. That was kind of a not so, you know, common thing for them.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that part of it. Although I'm not used to it, it was very nice to see. It was kind of nice to walk through the lobby and not see that.
Reminds me of the earlier Monster Mania. It used to be like you had like a plan. It's like, okay, Friday, the crowds are always smaller on Friday, so that's when we get the autographs. Then Saturday we buy stuff and do Q&As, and then Sunday poke around a little bit and then get on the road and you go home. And that's, you know.
Right.
But now it's just like, you know, Fridays are like the old Saturdays.
Right.
It's just bumper to bumper people. That's, you know, that gets a little bit hard to, you know. But like I say, if he does the show in March, Kim and Tommy and I are planning on coming down in March to do the show in Jersey.
Well, we'll be
if he has it.
So
if
we will see you there. That's what I told
absolutely,
him.
Absolutely.
If we have it, let me know. We'll be here. And we'll be getting that going. We'll be seeing you guys before that, I'm sure. I know you're not too far away from us. but yeah, so it sounds like you had a good time, and you know, I got to say the trip down there took us about 5 hours.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the thing I like about the New Jersey is that it's a short trip. You know, it's like I can do the
road trip. Mind driving.
Yeah, exactly. But the Virginia is a little bit, like I said, we have a good system. I drive down with all the luggage. Kim and Tommy fly down the next day. I pick them up at the airport on Thursday, and then we always go and do stuff. We do some touristy stuff on Thursday, and then Friday we do a little bit of touristy stuff, and then we just do the show.
Nice. That's cool. That's really cool. You know, it's funny. Whenever I get down to Jersey, I never really have a lot of time to just walk around the area of Cherry Hill or anything like that because you get so – because we come in on Thursdays. Because that's the modest thing to do, just be there before all the chaos begins.
Yeah.
You know how, because I'll tell you, that makes a difference getting there on Thursday versus coming in on Friday, trying to find a parking spot, et cetera, you know?
Oh, yeah. So it's like I tell the wife now, can't move the car on Fridays. You should be able.
Yeah. I got a tip for you, though. So one of our fellow Monster Maniacs gave me this last time I was there, and I got to tell you, I didn't think it was going to be a huge difference, but it was. We stayed this time till Monday, and we checked out on Monday. What an amazing difference it was getting out of there on Monday. And I got to tell you, it was a little bit easier and a lot more restful, I'll tell you. Normally, we do like you guys. We leave on Sundays, and we leave on Sunday right after all the stuff's done. You know, but I found before was everyone's trying to do the same thing. Everyone, for the most part, everyone's checking out. Everyone's trying to get on the road. Everyone's trying to this. There's a lot of traffic because of that and everything else. So one of our fellow Monster Maniacs gave me the tip that he stays on Monday because at that point, everyone's already gone for the most part. Yep. The only people left in the hotel are, like, you know, some of the stars, some who are leaving on Sunday, and there are the very few people who know that part about how quicker it is to have a hard time finding one of those trolley things, you know, one of those things you got to bring all your bags down. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes on a Sunday, it's hard to get one of them things because everyone's trying to do the same thing, and then having to check out, put all your stuff in the car, and then coming back out and getting back into the show and all that stuff. Not having to do those things on a Sunday made it so much more enjoyable that you didn't have to rush around on a Sunday. You know, we almost went to the York Yorkshire, which we've not done yet, but unfortunately all kinds of other things came up, so we just kind of, you know, everyone's exhausted at that point. But I'll tell you, we already have the room there. We just kind of, you know, chilled out in the room and decompressed from the weekend that we had, you know, and stuff like that. It was fun stuff there. But like you suggested, like we've been saying before, we brought our own food down. It's a lot cheaper there. Yeah. And also, I got good news for you, Tim. Since the this is good news for us New Englanders. Ready? Get one of this. So you know how expensive that restaurant is there, right? Just so happens, since we were there last, they have put in a new Dunkin' Donuts next to the hotel. In walking distance.
Oh, that'll make the wife real home.
Like not crossing the street. Like, you don't even have to cross the street to get to this Dunkin' Donuts. It's literally on the – it's right next to – what was it? The movie theater was there before last time we were there. But I saw that's – if I had known this the whole time, we would have been there every morning. Because – Dunkin' Donuts, that place is significantly cheaper than, you know, the $4 coffee you get at the Crown or
breakfast, not kidding, or
the meals in general. But I thought I'd give you that heads up that is there now. You know, because
that's really good news. No, that'll make the wife real happy. He loves the Dunkin'.
She loves
her Dunkin' Snuffies, so that'll make her real happy. Usually you have to drive up the road a little ways before you get to the highway, and there's a nice one I'd say 5 minutes away from the, like 5 minutes driving towards the highway.
Right.
You know, there's one there, and it's kind of
area.
This one, you just get up. That's the thing about it. I try to encourage people to when you go that there. I don't know if it's still there, but there was a really nice pizza and sub place that was across the street from the hotel, 10-minute walk. I'm like, things like that. Like, I'm like, you know, if the hotel is too expensive, there are alternatives, and they're within walking distance.
That's right.
You can
take
a walk.
You can actually take a walk
to some of these places.
Exactly.
And just, you know, save yourself, like, you know, you can buy yourself a slice of pizza and a Coke, and it's like $7, $8, $9 compared to $40 for a buffet thing at the hotel. It's like, you know, I tell people, it's like, you know what, there are great alternatives to just, rather than just eating at the hotel. Like, we didn't do that when we were in Virginia. We went and did a lot of the local restaurants because the nice thing about Scares is that the parking lot is not so full that you can't, leave and come back and find a parking space. That's kind of the nice thing about Scares.
Right.
No. Trust me. Any veteran of Boston Mania will tell you, you don't move your car after like noon on Friday. You don't move your car. And that's it. Yeah. Wherever your car is, you park your car on noon Friday, and that's where it stays until you're ready to leave the hotel. Maybe like staying Sunday night, you could do it after everybody's gone on Sunday. That's of course an option. I've never closed the Monster Mania. I've closed other conventions, and they're just, I get annoyed with all the people who are crying in their beer that the show's over. I'm like, yeah, okay, it was a great show, but dear God, man, I think I need to call Suicide Watch for you because you look like you're about to cut your wrists open. I'm like, calm down. The show will be back again. There will be another convention. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Even if it's a year from now, we're still going to have another show.
Right. And people still complain. You know, they always find something to complain about. You know, there's always something after the fact. After the show, there's always the people who have to take the jabs. I guess there's another guy who may or may not have sold bogus signed things. We all know about that famous story from years ago when someone tried that already. And they were upset because apparently someone tipped them off that they may or may not be selling, bogusly signed items. And, people.
I never quite understood why people do that. I never quite understood why you would buy an autograph from for me, the autograph is kind of the culmination of meeting the person. Harris's autograph, I want to be because I met Danielle Harris or I met Bill Moseley or I met, Martin Cove, I don't understand why people go out there and they go online. It's like, cause I've seen that on like the websites and stuff. I mean, the actual show websites, because some of the celebrities will give them autographs so that they can sell them on their website. And it's like, yeah, but that's the whole point to me going to the shows. If I want that person's autograph, I want to actually meet them. It's like, yeah, I could go out and buy Richard Brake was at your show. I'm dying to meet Richard Brake. I love him. He's one of my favorite actors. My thing is with him would be like, why would I want to buy that online? I actually want to meet the guy. I want to meet the guy, get a chance to say hi to him. And that's the autograph is sort of like, I can look at the autograph. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember when I met him.
Exactly.
But then you buy it online and it's like, it's not the same thing. Because if you ever see my autograph collection, there is one autograph on my wall, the person I never got to meet, and that was Clive Barker. Because Clive Barker he was supposed to be at a Monster Mania, but he was fighting cancer, he had AIDS, and he went into a coma like a month before the show, and he had just gotten out with it 2 weeks before the show. And he's like, I can't make it. So he signed a bunch of pictures and said, please give this to the people who bought VIP tickets to meet me and tell them how sorry I am that I couldn't make it to the show. That is the only autograph on my wall that I did not actually physically meet the person.
Right. Because you're right. That's kind of the sweet spot. That's kind of the reward for the kind of the thing that ties that memory to meeting the person is that autograph. You know, I remember after talking to this person, they autographed this. Because half the time when they sign your pictures, if you're paying attention, they usually write a little something that ties it to you sometimes. And then people sit there wondering why there's these people there to authenticate autographs and stuff. But that's because of the maggots who want to sell it online or whatever. Which is why people like doing that stuff.
It happens. It happens all the time.
Right.
I can't remember. It was Adam West. Adam West, he would not sign your item unless, the late, great Adam West, he would not sign your item unless he personalized it. Because if he personalized it, He knew you couldn't sell it online because he got tired of seeing his He got tired of seeing his autograph because his autograph had, you know, its value had, because people would show up, have him sign, you know, 25 things, and then 24 of them would end up on eBay. So
yeah,
he stopped just signing stuff. He demanded to personalize your item, which I've never heard of before, because I know for some of them, they don't like personalizing. It's an annoying thing for them.
Right.
But he was like,
I
he was
that's
adamant
nice, though,
about it.
Personally.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I liked it.
I
loved it.
I think what's good about that.
You know, I got a Batmobile on my house that he signed, and I was just like, I love the fact that he wanted the personalize, because I'm like, for me, that makes it ours.
Right.
You know, that's our Batmobile, because Adam West signed that Batmobile to my wife and I. Son wasn't born yet, so
right.
Sorry, Tommy.
Nice. Unfortunately, can't get it now.
Yeah, I know. He's one of the ones that says, like, Sid Haig. Huh?
Right. Sid Haig is another one.
Yeah, some of the...
Sid Haig, Richard Booker.
All those great guys, you know, I've met over the years, and they're gone now, and it's just like, I feel, like I said, it's like pulls on the heartstrings when you look at the picture, and you're like, yeah, it's so horrible that he, you know, it's terrible that,
right.
You know, he was such an awesome guy. I'm so sorry he's gone now.
Right. You know what, these shows, though, like I was saying to people as I was waiting in line is, you know, how many times have we gone to shows and we've seen someone's name there? We're like, well, I'll see them next time. Or you see them countless times and you're like, well, I'll go meet them next time they come. Or you overlook them for someone
else. Yeah.
And a lot of time, this show here, I literally took it upon myself to, you know, personally thank as many people as I could for being part of the show and everything else. And because you're not going to get a lot of these opportunities. And look at that. Not to say that these guys aren't young-hearted or young-spirited or not hard-working or not as tough as they are, because they are. Most of them are all tough. They'd take a role tomorrow if they had to. But on the same sense, I mean, they're all up there in age. They're not spring chickens, a lot of these guys. They might not act as some of them, but they are up there. But, I mean, situations
like
Sid
guys
Hay,
like Bill
Moseley
has got to be in their 60s. You know, guy like Bill Moseley's got to be in his 60s or 70s now. Gotta be
right, and
you know,
and also what happens is guys like Bill Moseley.
How old was Sid Haig when he passed away? He was like in his 80s, and he was still doing shows.
Was he 80? He had to have been around the same age as Bill, I would imagine, right? Or no?
Oh, he's older. I think he's older. Sid, I mean, I've seen promotional stills and stuff from movies from Sid that like from the 50s and 60s. So he's been acting for a long time. He's been in the business for a really, really long time. So I mean, I think he's at least a decade or more. He's at least a good 10, 15 years older before he passed away than Bill was.
Boy, do I got a funny story for you here. Speaking of which, so and I tell you, this is my buddy's first time bringing him to a convention. One of the people he wanted to meet was Bill Moseley. Because he was a big fan of the Devil's Rejects movies and all of those things. And I kid you not, this is the only place these types of things could happen. But anyway, I've met Bill countless times. I'm sure you have too. No big deal. But
Bill Moseley,
you know. And actually, this show
I talked to him.
Yeah, I talked to him and talks to you in the lobby. You don't even have to go far. But
no. I remember one year. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off, but I remember one year I was at the Monster Mania, and Dave and I were having a three-way conversation. I was representing the Boston Bruins. Dave was all about the Philadelphia Flyers, and Bill was all about his Chicago Blackhawks.
Right? Oh, boy.
So we were just talking about where we thought, how we thought our teams were that year, and Dave and I were both like, yeah, our teams suck, but the Blackhawks will probably win the Stanley Cup, and they did win the Stanley Cup that year. So it was just funny, because and now every time I run into Bill and he remembers me, he's like, he sits there and we talk hockey.
Right. And that's what's funny about Bill. But this is one of those things where, like, this could only happen here, and it speaks to the volume of Bill Moseley. So my buddy's first convention, he knew to bring some money with him, of course. But, you know, what happens is, you know, you don't expect so many people to be so much. And I got to say, in retrospect, not everyone was – I got to say, the people here weren't overly charging, I got to say, compared to how other people have. I think for the most part, they were pretty reasonable, a lot of these people. Most of them around 40, 50 bucks, which honestly is, you know, not
that's
the average
norm. We used to be, what, 20, 25, now it's 40, 50. That's just the fact. That's inflation. That's just the fact of going to conventions. The prices have gone up, and that's the new low. 40 is now the – if you're lucky, you might get somebody who's 30. But if you do like I think if you do like a combo selfie and an autograph, which almost everybody wants to do, it's going to cost you like 40 bucks minimum.
Yeah, exactly. So my buddy goes up to meet Bill Moseley because he really wanted to meet Bill Moseley. And I was in the – at the time I was waiting for Sean Cunningham. You know Sean Cunningham, the director of Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah. Great guy. I met him.
Yep, I already showed Bill his matches that I showed him for my wrestling show on YouTube and everything. Well, he thought it was he got a big hoot out of it anyway. So as I'm waiting across the room waiting for Sean Cunningham, my friend comes over to me, and he's very animated, my friend, very animated. And let's face it, to say the fact that he wasn't, like, enthralled by the whole experience would be an understatement. He really got bit by that social bug. If you know what I mean, he loved being out there with the people.
Oh,
people I don't know, and whatever else. And he comes over to me, and I kid you not, this also speaks to what this is all about, these kinds of shows are. As I'm waiting there for Sean, he walks up to me. He goes, "Bill Moseley just gave me a cookie." I said, "What do you mean Bill Moseley just gave you a cookie? He never gave me a freaking cookie." The guy behind me goes, "This is the funniest conversation I've ever heard in my life."
Yeah.
Apparently, after my friend had bought his autograph, Bill Moseley, Bill wanted to see if he wanted the picture, but he said, "Oh, I only have $10 left. You're welcome to have it for the picture." He's like, "No, you can take a picture with me for nothing. Don't worry about it." Took a picture with him because he had something else for you afterwards, too. And he gave him a freaking cookie out of a tray of cookies that he had with him. So him, he ate cookies with Bill Moseley. I'm like, Bill Moseley never gave me a cookie. And the guy behind
I never got one either. I've never gotten one from him either, so. But funny, I met Ernie Hudson, and he would give out Twinkies to everybody. Everybody that came to his table, and you got an autograph, you got a Twinkie because he had the line in Ghostbusters, that's a big Twinkie. So he gave out Twinkies to everybody.
Oh, man.
Funny thing
that's
he said
hysterical.
About Sean Cunningham. I got a funny Sean Cunningham story. I met him at a Monster Mania in Hunt Valley. This is the one that Dave had where he probably broke the record for the most Friday the 13th. Guess he had, I don't know, like 30 people at the show or more, 30 celebrities more, and like 25 to, like, I don't know if it was 30 or 35, but it's basically you had Angus Scrimm, and you had the girl who played Julia from Hellraiser. And I forget the actress's name, and I forgive me for forgetting her name. Everybody else there was a Friday the 13th guest. And his headliner was Sean Cunningham. Ooh. I had just bought the Jason mask from a friend of mine who was a dealer. So I had him sign the Jason hockey mask. And he signed it. He's like, "Okay, we want to take some pictures." He's like, "But you got to take a picture, and we're all going to wear the mask." So he and I and my wife were taking pictures, and Sean and I were swapping out the mask. Every single picture we took, Sean goosed my ass. He would grab my butt and pinch it. Every single picture, just to try to get a reaction from me. The only pictures that you could we took like three or four pictures, and it was like my wife was like, "It's like he's like, I know she tensed up a little bit." I'm like, "Yeah, that's because Sean Cunningham was grabbing my butt." And he did it just as a joke. I mean, don't think it wasn't like he was trying to feel me up or nothing. You know, he didn't want to flick up my flabby butt. But it was just, he did it because he was trying to get me to react, but I was able to kind of keep my composure, particularly when I was wearing the hockey mask. But you ever go on my Facebook page, you see those pictures of me with Sean Cunningham. You can't see it, but the guy's down there goosing my butt at every single picture.
I believe it.
He's like grabbing he's taking
riot.
Like handfuls of my butt.
I believe it.
Great guy. I loved it. I thought it was so freaking hilarious.
I thought it was so funny,
when he did that.
Get this. You know how they do the Rocky Horror Picture Show on Saturday night?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they had it there, and Sean
they got that
Cunningham
group out of Philadelphia to do it.
Yeah, and Sean Cunningham and his family were there watching it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I said, oh, man.
I'm trying to think.
Oh, man.
I've seen a lot of Rocky Horror troops, and I've always gave – it was the Transylvania Nipple production group out of Philadelphia.
Yeah, they're the best, man.
They are the – I'll freely admit, I've been to many a Rocky Horror screening, and I have seen tons of crews. I mean, I went there because I had friends that were in the troop, and nobody comes close to how good the Transylvania crew is. I mean, I don't know how they are now, but back then in the day, they had the best – they had this guy who did the best Frankfurter. And I always sat there saying, if you ever want to get a great Frankfurter, I've seen it done tons of times by girls, but it's got to be a guy because you got to have that kind of – that little bit of a creepy factor. It's like, he looks amazing in that getup, but it's a man, you know? I always loved that. That was my favorite thing. But Tim Curry was always my favorite thing about the movie. I always loved that about Tim Curry in the movie. You know, it's like, God, he looks so amazing. But you got to remember, that's a guy.
Yeah, right.
It's like
it was funny as hell.
You know.
Yeah.
But I used to.
Sean Cunningham and his family was watching. I don't think I've ever seen a guest go to the screening of Rocky Horror.
I saw Patricia Quinn do it once.
Did they?
I saw Patricia Quinn do it once. She played Magenta in Rocky Horror. So she played the original Magenta in the movie. I saw her go to the screening, and you could tell how nervous everybody was. And she's trying to calm them down, saying, don't worry about it. Please just have fun. I could hear her talking to them, trying to calm them down because this one girl was like, the girl who was going to be Magenta was like, I can't do it. She's out there going to be watching me. You know, it was so, I was like, but it's like I said, that's the only time I ever saw a celebrity. And I'm like, you know what? You know, that's awesome.
Yeah. I actually bought his family and him the little bags they give you out. I bought his family that. I said, you know what? I'm going to get some bags. I'm going to pay it forward. This is his first month, his first time going. I'm going to give him the bag. I said, wait a minute. Does he know what happens to people who have not been before?
Yeah.
I think they caught on because they saw people sitting down, and they sat down right up too. They sat down, even though I don't think they've ever been. Yeah, it was quite amusing, let me tell you.
It just sounded like it was a great show. I had a couple of friends that were there. I had a buddy of mine that was there. He was cosplaying with his – he makes Phantasm spheres. And he was walking around the show with like a phantasm sphere attached to his forehead with like fake blood, like his red streamers coming out looking like the blood was squirting out of him.
I
don't know if he did that Friday or Saturday. Big guy.
There was a lot of people there.
He's a really big, kind of hard. Yeah, it's kind of hard to miss him. He's a really big guy. Super nice guy. His name's Doug. Super nice guy.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, I'm going to his wedding next month. So it's like, that's the thing I love about Monster Mania. Monster Mania has always been a family thing for me. I have so many friends that go to that show now. I've got you and Gladys and your family. Doug, his girl, and I've got, like I said, and there's people who come that aren't from like New England area. They're all from like Philadelphia, New Jersey, New York. At the VIP party, the guy who was playing the band Demon Scar that was playing at the VIP party, the guy, Nick, that's Nick Greystone is a friend of mine. He's another friend of mine that I met at Montanilla. His daughter, Zoe, and my son, Tommy, adore each other. They like tackle each other with hugs when they saw each other, when they see each other. They'd run up and tackle each other. You know, it's kind of like a game. Who's going to tackle the other one first? They're like the same, almost the same age. I think Zoe's a little bit older than he is. But so Monster Mania is like, Scares is not quite there. I know some people there, and I've got some really good friends that go to that show, but not on the same level as Monster Mania. I almost know everybody at Monster Mania.
Yeah, I see. That's the difference between that is something that I realized that I have to say was a little different for me, because this Monster Mania, there were some familiar faces, but for the most part, a lot of them I didn't know, or the people who I don't tend to talk to a lot. I saw a lot of those guys. You know, there's some people come to Monster Mania that I have no problem talking with, and pretty much anybody who talks to me, I talk to them. I'm pretty cool with everybody, but...
Yeah.
There are those certain people that I'm a little bit, I'm going to just stay back a little bit here. And I'm not saying I'm picky and choosy, but, you know, I do have a tendency not to just talk to every single person there. Where my buddy is talking
and
to every
gonna have
single
people.
Person
there. You're always going to have they're always going to have people that run in with their little cliques, and that's all they want to have anything to do with is their little clique.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's everywhere.
Right.
You know, Scares has
it.
Everybody has it. Everybody has the clicks that go to their shows. You know,
it does.
And that's just just the way. Horrifying was that way. Rock and Shock was that way. Everybody has, and you just if you're not that part of that click, you're not allowed in to talk or say anything. They just ignore you. It's kind of like, you know, like so. One of the rudest things I ever saw a conventioner do was. My wife and I, we closed out. We went to a Horrifying show in Maryland, and we closed the show. We're all hanging out at the hotel restaurant / bar, just sitting around talking. And they knew me because I was on the boards. I used to be the guy that reviewed all the books for them. I would talk about all the new horror books coming out because I was the big reader.
Right.
And people, so people knew who I was, but nobody knew who my wife was. And nobody would, this one person, literally my wife and I would be talking and I had to get up, go to the bathroom, went to the bathroom. My wife said, oh, hey, how you doing? You're like, I'm with you. He's my, I think we were, I don't know if we were married or yet or not, but, and she just literally picked up her chair, turned around and says, I'm not talking to you. And I was like, she told me that. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Seriously.
Really?
I'm like, that's one of the stupidest and most rude things I've ever seen done at a show. But it happens.
It does. It's sad that happens, but there are scumbags like that.
It shouldn't happen, but it does happen, unfortunately.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And my buddy says, like, I thought you were, Mr. Popular. I said, I never said I was popular. I said, I talked to a lot of people. I do know a lot of people here. Not a lot of the regular people are here that I talk to, though, but... I also know that, it's always it's sometimes good to keep a safe distance from people you don't know that well, because maybe you don't know everyone's stories and everything like that, especially with all these people who are getting in trouble for stupidity. And then, like, what's happening is, like, they were trying to bring my buddy, who's never been into any of these things, into the discussion about the whole thing about the whole, the guy had the fake merchandise, and they wanted to, they called the Hagens to shut them down. They called them the Gestapo or the Sunday morning quarterbacks. I said, wait a minute. They had two people on, there were people here to verify autographs on site. I said, you guys.
Yeah, there's always somebody there to verify autographs.
See, I'm not on social media. I'm on social media. I'm not on Facebook. So I don't see all the drama.
Yeah.
I'm not on the Facebook group page. I'm not on any of that stuff. Everything I have
that's probably
information,
a good
my wife tells me, or my buddy tells me, or, but I mean, I see the announcements on Instagram and on Twitter. I talk to Dave. I do use the Messenger still, because that's about all I use it for.
Yeah.
Messenger. I don't talk to anyone. I'm not on Facebook. But... it seems like a lot of people are mouthy and whatever else. And the way I am is I'm very loyal to people. And when people, you know, trash people who are friends of mine, like pagans who are doing their jobs, and, you know, people who are talking about, you know, someone selling, like, things that are jumping into conclusions are not telling the whole story. You're only telling the story of your side of the story. There's always three sides of the story. And I, as I tried to tell my friend, I said, listen, they have two people. There was two sets of people. There was one person in the main room where in the back there in the pavilion. There was another authenticator out in the little room. You know where that is there off off the elevators there. So those were the two rooms where there was autographed people. And there was people there to verify autographs. There's four people total in the booth. I said, most likely, one of them, you know, they probably got a tip that said, hey, this might be bogus stuff. And one of them probably walked by. They do it all the time at these shows to make sure everything's legit. Like, you know, this happened before, as we know.
Yeah.
To make sure everything's legit, and they checked it out, and they probably checked out and said that, no, this can't be, you know, proven. And Dave even said, these haven't been proven to be fit real not. But they had them leave anyway to protect themselves because you don't want people buying fake merchandise at your show, regardless.
Because then they'll blame the show for allowing them to sell it there.
Right. And that's what I tried to point out to my friend. I said, you don't know the whole story. The vendor says this, and this is what the vendor is going to say. But... And anyone around,
you don't know where the vendor got the autograph
from.
He may have thought he bought it from a viable source. You know, he may have thought if he acquired it, he may say, hey, you know, you can buy bulk autographs from me. And I purchase bulk autographs. You can buy them from me. And he might have thought that that's what he was doing. And instead, you know, that's not what he got. It was like, you know, that happens. I mean, I hate to say it, but you don't know what's going on. I mean, it may not be even the vendor's fault for doing it. He may thought he was selling legit autographs.
Right. That's a possibility too. But also what people are forgetting is they're blaming the Hagans for shutting it down. I said they're shutting it down because they're still going to be liable if someone buys some fake stuff. And they're checking it out to make sure it's not real. But in the meantime, they have to shut it down because – what if someone buys something that's not the right thing? That's the responsible thing to do.
Yeah, I guess who's going to get blamed for it if they do? They're not going to blame the vendor. They're going to blame the Hagans for doing that.
Right. And that's what these people are not failing. This is what these people are failing to see. Yeah. And these, you know, people trying to
convince
people
protect
like
itself.
My buddy. Right.
You know, that's what that's why they cracked down on all the people. Remember the earlier Monster Manias? They used to sell all the bootleg movies. Now it's like he started cracking down on those tables because he's like, yeah, man, you can't sell those here. Those are actual movies that are either they're out in theaters or they're coming out. Haven't come out yet on DVD or Blu-ray yet. And you had tons of people that did that. You know, I always remember the Soskas movie, American Mary. I saw that being sold as a bootleg at a show a good 6 months before it came out as a DVD in the United States because somebody had gotten a copy. They take the British screening of the movie and they made a bunch of bootlegs. And Dave made them take all of that stuff, and primarily also because Catherine Isabel, who was the star of the movie, was also at the show. And she basically was calling the directors, the Soskas, saying, they're selling American Mary here. And they're like, what do you mean they're selling the movie there? It's not out yet. And it's like, I don't know how, but somebody got a copy of it and they're selling it. And so, like I said, he was the first one to start cracking down because he could get fined for that. I remember people bitching and moaning when he did it. I'm like, do you realize that he could get fined like something like $1,500 or $2,000 per copy? Somebody from the studio or something comes there and sits there and says, hey, they're selling Batman. They're selling the new Batman movie. And it's like, oh, that's, but it's not like the shows that don't exist anymore, like the Powers of Matthew Starr or something like that. It's
right,
always
right.
It's got to be something that a studio would be interested in stopping you from putting out there. So
exactly.
He leaves alone certain things, especially fan-made films and stuff.
Right.
He allows those to go, but he stops
right.
the ones that could get him and get his show into trouble and get him. And like
exactly.
I said, there are pretty hefty fines for that. There are some serious
exactly.
hefty fines. You know, anywhere from like, I know, it's like anything from like $2,000 to $15,000, depending upon per unit. So, I
right.
mean, it's, you know, it can be pretty harsh. You know,
sure.
you know. So he was like the first one that started cracking down, and then everybody started cracking down because they realized, oh, we could get, because they would get communiques. I remember I was at Rock and Shock one year, and I watched the guy come up, and he was from Sony Pictures, and he said, there's a guy out there selling, this is back when the Christian Bale Batman movies were coming out. And he's like, there's somebody selling Dark Knight, and it's still in theaters. He's like, I'm going to give you the option of pulling that down, or I'm going to notify the police, and we're going to hit you. And he's like, just so you know, and that's how I know the $2,000. He's like, it's $2,000 per unit, and we would be fining, and you'd get the fine. So he had
right.
to send his
exactly.
people over and
down.
Yank all those units. But everybody thought Kevin Margry was an a-hole for doing that. I'm like, no, Kevin Margry couldn't afford the, you know, the $100,000 fine he was looking at.
Yeah, right.
If he let that guy get away with selling the film.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what these people don't see, is that aspect of the business. They only know what they think they
yeah.
know. You know what I mean? They don't look at the ramifications of what those little things that happen are. Like those things, like the security measures or, you know, selling bootleg things, they don't know what the aspect of it is running a show, the responsibility that goes on. You know, in all honesty, that makes them the Sunday morning quarterback, so all they have to do is show up to work.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like,
well, I remember,
you know, when you're – yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember when I was saying earlier about Danielle Harris, when she was at Monster
right.
Mania 2, when she had a stalker going after her, threatening to kill her and kidnap her and kill her and rape her, and not in that order, you know?
Mm.
And he, you know, she had a ton of security, and not a lot of people. You had to be very ginger approaching her table. I didn't get her autograph because I was just like, wow, there's a lot of security around this, and people were complaining. But then of all people, Betsy Palmer said, no, you don't understand. She has a stalker out there, and she has no idea who it is. That's why she has three guys there. And she's like, and she said, and because one of the guys was armed security that she was paying for herself. And it was simply because, and that made people uncomfortable. But it was like, no, you don't understand. She has that extra security because there's somebody out there threatening her, and she doesn't know who that
right.
is. And until that person could be here right now, that person could be standing in her line. And of course, Mama Voorhees explaining this to people, you know, Pamela Voorhees is kind of like addressing people and schooling them on reality of life. And it's
right.
like, you know, I'm
yeah.
like, you know, like Dave gave her extra security to back up the security she brought with her, because that's because he was grateful that it was like they were opening bags and stuff like that. They were opening
right.
bags, making sure nobody approached her that could do her harm. And people complained
right.
about it. But I was kind of like, wow. I was like, I didn't know about the stalker, but still, I could care less. I'm like, you could put the 1st Marine Recon Division on somebody. If that's what they want, then that's what they want. That's what, you know,
sure.
they can do what they want,
right.
you know?
Right.
You know,
right.
that's entirely up to them. It's not up to – it's up to you or me what that person wants. And if the show is accommodating them, it's not the show's fault. They're just being
right.
– they're taking care of their guest.
Right, and they should, and that's a smart way, and that's why they keep coming back, and that's why they,
yeah.
you know, show up over and over again. That's why they feel so comfortable, because they know they can trust, you know, the Hagans
yeah.
and the security staff. And I think what the people need to do is understand that there's reasons why people do things. They don't do things intentionally to be, you know, jerks or whatever. I mean, they're not. They're there to enforce themselves, keep their business alive, which they've done. So.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Just so you know, we have about 9 minutes and 34 seconds left of this exciting show. I hope you had fun.
it's always a great time coming on your show.
So let's give me four of the top things of your trip to Scares the Care, then I'll give you the same.
Okay. Top celebrity, Michael Paré. Got to meet him again. He was in Eddie and the Cruisers. For me, I loved him in Streets of Fire, so he was my number one autograph at the show. Part two, I would say I worked. They have like a 5K fundraising fund, like a kind of like a 5K mini marathon thing. And I was in costume. I was one of the costume volunteers working that, you know.
Oh,
and it was fun because I handed out all the medals to people. Everybody got a medal that completed the race, and I handed out the medals to everyone.
That's cool.
Going to see, from the historical guy in me, was going to go see the Civil War battlefield of Cole Harbor, which was awesome because I always love visiting those places and seeing those things. And the fourth thing, just reconnecting with my friends from Scares, you know, guys like my buddy John Jack, author Brian Keane, Joe Ripple, getting a chance to say hi to them, see how they're doing. You know, seeing, you know, how much hair they lost during the pandemic, you know. It was just, like I said, it's always fun reconnecting with your friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It sounds like a great time. I'm going to have to check it out one of these times. I also like, you know, I'm a writer myself, so if I can network there, I will.
It's a hard show to get to, but I think it's worth it.
I'll definitely check it out sometime. For me, four. So one would be just getting back to semi-normal. That when I walked into the Cherry Hill, the Crown Plaza, the same staff is still there. The same people that have been there since forever. The same Dave, same security staff, some of the same people there. So the sense of familiarity was really nice. The sense that this is kind of like how it should be. This feels like home, you know what I mean, that welcoming factor. That's the first thing. Second, being able to introduce someone new to horror to these conventions, someone who didn't even know conventions were a thing, and fulfilling his dream of meeting three of his biggest idols. And that, you know, when you can ever open someone's eyes, introduce them to the convention world, you know, you feel pretty good about it. Three, you know, seeing the fun that my wife and my son had and the joy that they had, a great time, that was definitely good for me. I like to watch them have fun. I like to see, you know, them smiling. My son was really appreciative. Seeing my son get involved with the Rocky Horror Picture Show again, regardless of anything else was going on, he was definitely going to go to that. That was pretty cool. And the fourth would have to be a tie between Danny Trejo. He did a Q&A that was very interesting. And actually, I got his book, to be honest with you. And my wife actually read the book already. And I got the book, but my wife read it already. So now I get to read it next. So we're going to read the Trejo book. But also, the other half of that was the powerful words that Matthew Lillard talked about in talking about how hard the movie business is on people who are in it, that it's all sunshine and rainbows, and there's a lot of ups and downs in movie making, and it's not as glamorous as people think it is. And like he said, he gave a real rawness to, you know, you get paid for a movie, you have all of these people that come out, all the taxes and the lawyers and the agents and all this stuff. And, you know, that rawness was really cool for me. So those are the top four for me. It was definitely well needed.
Yeah. One thing I would want to add to my top four,
sure.
Seeing my son, my son completed in the kids fun run. My son competed and got a medal at the fun run. Getting a chance to cheer him on when he ran to the finish line. It was awesome.
That's awesome. That is excellent.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Did he win? How far did he come?
Oh God, no, not even close. He was all the kids started. He's going up against kids that were 16, 17 years old. Those are ones that won the race. Yeah, but you know what? It was like anyone who was under the age of 18 ran in the fun run, and so he, like I said, he finished where he walked most of it, of course, because he's only six, for crying out loud. But it was fun when he came around the corner. He saw people running around the corner, so he had to run too. So he ran around the corner and he just puffing and just ran down there across the finish. Everybody was cheering him on. He was just like, you would have thought he was 10 feet tall when he was standing there. When he got handed his medal, he felt 10 feet tall. He ran up and hugged me, and I'm in my scary jester costume, and he's just like, "Daddy, look what I got." And it was a great moment.
That is awesome. They could turn the torch and enjoy those moments with our kids. That's awesome, man. That's what these shows are about, passing the torch and introducing our kids to these worlds, and hopefully they continue these things going with their kids down the road, you know? That's the idea. But you're driving around, are you?
No, just some jerk who decided that he just needed to beep his horn when he was driving his car down the road just because he's an idiot. So
all right, I know
stupid
those two.
People everywhere. They don't have to go to a convention to be stupid. They can just be stupid
That's
driving
true.
Down the road.
That's true. Also, fun fact: I know you like wrestling stuff. I don't know if you watched any of our YouTube stuff, but I also let Dave know that our Monster Mania special we did is actually up on YouTube right now, where we found
cool.
a king and a queen of Monster Mania, where we had 20 former female guests of Monster Mania and 30 male guests. By the way, your Angus, the guy from Phantasm, was featured there because he was a guest at Monster Mania. In order to be qualified for the Melee, you actually had to be a guest there, and there was other cool stuff there too. So get a chance to check that out. Also, fun trivia.
Absolutely.
You're familiar with Father Evil?
Oh, yeah,
you
absolutely. Yeah,
Father Evil around.
He was at Scarce. I thought it was so funny. I'm like, oh, there he is in Monster Mania. He was also at Scarce and had his son kind of like – his son was dressed up as his acolyte.
Yeah, he does that too. That's awesome too. And I guess
– Yeah, I thought that was great.
He also works with Cosplay Jesus now too.
Oh, that's, yeah.
He's up with someone named Cosplay Jesus as well now. And actually,
I saw the picture of you two. You had Father Evil and you had Jesus and Father Evil. I'm like, oh, there you go.
Well, they're going to be making their in-ring debuts very shortly, so be looking for that. And also, it's always a pleasure having you on, Tim. Thanks for joining us.
Always glad to be here. Always glad.
Awesome. Well, give our best to Tim and Tommy when they get up, and you have a great week, and until next time, keep safe, brother.
I will. You too, man. We'll see you soon and talk to you later.
Yes, definitely. Take care, bud.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.